Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. And again, I want to say something to you right here at the beginning. Scripture is so important. Daily read the scripture, and slowly. Don't try to see how much you can read. Just read it slowly and understand it. So as I read these readings to you, I want you to take them by yourself and really go over them, ponder them. The first is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, 7 to 9, and then chapter 3, 1 to 7. The Lord God formed a man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. Then the Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. And the serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened. In other words, then they suddenly realized what they had done. They realized that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. What a mistake. They saw something that was beautiful. The very thing that the Lord asked them not to touch, they took it. Aren't we like that? We say, "Oh, well, I know this isn't exactly the best thing, but I want it. Or I would like it." We become greedy. And the Lord is saying to us, not just in the eternal things, but even the things here in this life, do what I tell you. Obey the commandments. Follow me. Be merciful to us. Be merciful, O Lord, says Psalm 51, for we have sinned. And all of us have. We've all made mistakes. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness and the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt and of my sin. Cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. I find that a very poignant verse. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. That's what we don't want. We don't want to turn our back on life that's being held out to us. We don't want to turn our back because we want to do it my way. Do it God's way, and it will be yours. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. What a beautiful, beautiful passage, because that depicts what life is like. We're turning away, we're trying to do what we want to do and please God at the same time, and we can't. We want to please him, and he gives us much that we can do, very much. We want to turn away from what is evil in God's sight and choose his pathway. Make that psalm, this Psalm 51, make it your psalm for this Lenten season. Pray it daily, the whole thing. because God will bless you abundantly if you learn it and live by it. And then we have a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Brothers and sisters, through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? And the gift is not like the result of the one who sinned. For after one sin, there was the judgment that brought condemnation. But the gift, after many transgressions, brought acquittal. For if by the transgression of the one death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as through one transgression condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Brothers and sisters, he loves us, but we have to follow his rule and his way to everlasting life. In one way it's simple, in another way it's very, very hard. Many of us grew up in Catholic schools, many of us did not. Many of us don't have a solid foundation. Many of us do, but have more or less discarded it. What God is asking of us today is to turn to him, to hear his word, to hear what he wants to do through us and with us for the glory of the Father. Trust him. Trust him. And then we look at the Gospel of Matthew for today, Chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He allowed him to be tempted. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. I'll bet he was hungry. And right now, when you're most vulnerable, the tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Come on, prove God's right, jump. Those are my words. And Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Brothers and sisters, it says here, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." But my question to you is, are you worshiping the one God? Are you tempted? I wouldn't be surprised. We're all tempted. The tempter goes after us. Are you willing to see that the tempter is working against you? He wants you, all my brothers and sisters, all of you listening to this program, and all men and women on the face of the earth, God wants you to know him, to love him, and to serve him so that you can be with him for all eternity in heaven. But there's a part of us, you know, that, well, yes, I want that too, but I'll do it my way kind of thing. Well, let's do it God's way. because that's the way of safety. In fact, there's a wonderful meditation by St. Gregory Nazianzen. He was a monk, a bishop in the year 390. He's a doctor of the church. And this is what he says. Suppose the tempter makes us feel the pinch of poverty, as he did even to Christ, and taking advantage of our hunger, talks of turning stones into bread. We must not be taken in by him, but let him learn what he still has not grasped. Refute him with the word of life, with the word that is the bread sent down from heaven and that gives life to the world. He may try to ensnare us through our vanity, as he tried to ensnare Christ when he set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Prove your divinity, throw yourself down." Let us beware of succumbing to pride, for the tempter will by no means stop at one success. He is never satisfied. He is always pursuing us. Often he beguiles us with something good and useful, but its end is always evil. That is simply his method of waging war. We also know how well versed the devil is in Scripture. When Christ answered the temptation to turn stones into bread with a rebuke from Scripture beginning, "It is written," the devil countered with the same words, tempting Christ to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. "For it is written," he quoted, "he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up. O past master of all evil." Why suppress the verse that follows? You did not finish the quotation, but I know full well what it means, that we shall tread on you as on an adder or a cobra. Protected by the Trinity, we shall trample on you as on serpents or scorpions. If the tempter tries to overthrow us through our greed, showing us at one glance all the kingdoms of the world as if they belong to him, and demanding that we fall down and worship him, we should despise him. We know him to be a penniless impostor. Strong in our baptism, each of us can say, "I too am made in the image of God, but unlike you, I have not yet become an outcast from heaven through my pride. I have put on Christ, and by my baptism, I have become one with him. It is you who should fall prostrate before me." Listen to that. It is you who should fall prostrate before me. By these words, he can only surrender and retire in shame. As he retreated before Christ, the life of the world, so will he depart from those illumined by that light. Such are the gifts conferred by baptism on those who understand its power. Such the rich banquet it lays before those who hunger for the things of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, by your baptism, you have authority over these, what do I call them, temptations, certainly, against the Word of God, against what God is asking of us. The enemy tries to get us. Brothers and sisters, pray against him. Tell him where he belongs and say, "I will not listen to you, but only to my Lord Jesus Christ." May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.